and good evening to the remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch Show. It's been a beautiful summer day here this Thursday, August 25th, 2022. And we were expecting rain today, but really only got a few drops. Not enough to really not even knock the dust down, but that's okay. The Lord sends rain, and his scripture even says that. We might get to that tonight, where he sends rain to one city and one town, but not another. But blessed be the name of the Lord. He has blessed us in all things. And so, welcome to the program. I have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. And we'll have those. Have some current events I'd like to talk to you about. And, a little preparation that I think we ought to be doing based on some of those current events and things that are being put out. I'll give you a quote. I want to give you a quote from a fourth generation farmer. And then we're going to open in prayer and then we'll get on with the program. A quote from a fourth generation farmer. Farmers are the last person on the totem pole. You may not need a doctor or a lawyer today, but every day in this country, you need a farmer. And that's a quote from a fourth-generation farmer. Well, let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all of the blessings and the opportunities and the grace and the mercy that you have poured out upon us. We thank you, Lord, for this time of trial, this time of trouble, this time of record inflation and sky-high prices, Lord, all across the nation, Lord, all across the land. We thank you for that because, Lord, we know that you have done it. We know that it is because of our sin and because we have turned from you and because we haven't returned to you. We haven't sought liberty and justice. And so, Lord, your word says that these things will come upon us. We know that you have done it. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for not seeking and hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Look kindly upon us, Lord, for those of us that have turned back to you, and strengthen us. Give us the words to say and the actions to do, Lord, to turn others to you, to shine the light of Christ into this dark world, to give hope to those that have no hope. For Lord, we hope in Jesus Christ alone, and we have hope in him. We have hope in you, O Lord. Guide and direct me during this evening broadcast, Lord. Let what we share tonight be a blessing. Lord, let it bless you and be a blessing to your people, to those that love you and that serve you and that obey you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our pastor that came before us, that laid the foundation, Lord, on the rock that is Jesus Christ. Thank you for the work and the dedication and the years and life that he dedicated to you and to getting your word out to your people. Help us, Lord, as we continue, Father, as we continue to follow in his footsteps, to glorify you and to share your truth and your hope with all that we can. And we pray that you are glorified in this. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen. And again, Remnant, the phone lines are open. It is August 25th, 2022. And rain all around us. We've had that the last few days, but I'm not complaining. We kind of wrapped up our haying. Today is Thursday. We wrapped up our haying on Tuesday for the most part. Still had to get some picked up yesterday, but got rain definitely tomorrow and over the weekend. So we needed to hold off, get what we had down up, baled and in the barn, and we were able to do that. And I can tell you, Tuesday, some unforecasted clouds came rolling in, and I was praying. I was out there baling the last of them and getting them picked up, and I was praying that the Lord would hold off the rain until we got the hay up, and he did. Not saying I'm anything, but God is good. The word tells us there that Elijah prayed that Elijah had a spirit like ours. And he prayed and it didn't rain, and he prayed again and it did. And so I give all praise to God. He tells us to do that thing, to look to him. We learn from the story of Gideon that the strength that Gideon had as a godly, mighty warrior, being the least in his family and the least in the land, but the strength he had was he acknowledged that God was who had done these things, who had allowed the Midianites to come in upon them, who had taken everything from them, had increased their taxes and their tribute that they had to pay because of their sin. And that was Gideon's strength. And you know what, Remnant? That is our strength today. It's our strength today. Oh, I encourage you to have a garden. Let me start with a scripture this day. I gave you a quote from an article I just saw today. It's from June of this year, but a fourth generation farmer saying farmers are the last person on the totem pole. And the article was "A Food Shortage Is Coming." That was the name of this article. And he says farmers are the last person on the totem pole. You may not need a doctor or a lawyer today, but every day in this country you need a farmer, he said. And I think there's a lot of truth there. There is. You need things that farmers do. You need food that farmers grow. And sometimes it may have to be our own farmer. That may be coming. In Amos 8:11, let me read this to you today. It says, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord." And that's Amos 8:11. And I tell you, Remnant, that day is here. That day has come. We are living it today. Because there is a thirst, a famine, where people, they don't want the Word of God. They need it. But they don't want it. It's a famine, it says, for hearing the words of the Lord. Now, you know, even in any famine, there's always a little food. There's always a little bit here and there. And I kind of look at this ministry and those that continue to put out the Word of God, that it's still going out. But for the most part, there is a famine in this land, and that's Amos 8:11. Because our people, they don't hunger and thirst for righteousness and liberty and justice anymore. It's just whatever goes. And that's where we are in this land today. So Amos 8:11, days are coming. The way I see it, those days are here. They are here now. That there is a famine where people don't want to hear the word of the Lord. They don't want to hear it. But it's there. When you have secular farmers, and I've got here, there's 1, 2, 3 headlines that I caught just today. 3 just this afternoon on a food shortage is coming. A food shortage could be coming even in the U.S. And these are all current, okay? These are all current. Here are the groceries you might be missing on store shelves due to food shortages in 2022. And that was first put out in March. It's been updated in July and then again about a week ago. And so when we see these things, now one, we should be aware that it is quite possible that these things are coming, okay? It's quite possible. It is. We read. You want to do a Bible study? You want to do a word search? If you have a Bible program, you can even Google it. Type in, you know, scriptures about famine. And they are all through the scripture. But they have a common denominator. They have a common denominator. Actually, a couple of them. One, they're caused by God. Our loving Heavenly Father brings famine and death and destruction. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great I Am, who was in the beginning with God and was God and is God and became flesh and dwelt among us. You remember that from John? You've been hearing it if you've been listening to Brother Zach's messages. Because he starts them out that way to reiterate and re-signify who Jesus Christ is. Remember when he came and told people and that, you know, that he was from the beginning and before Abraham was, he said, I am. He was and he is. And God does not change. And so one of the common denominators in the famines that we read about in the Bible is that they are caused by God. Now, there's a reason that he causes them. It's not just because he desires death and destruction. And it's just like this day here when he says in Amos 8:11, days are coming when I will send a famine on the land. So when you read these, food shortages are coming. When we see that the Ukraine has been under attack, something going on over there, how about that? And they are the breadbasket of Europe, much like Kansas and Nebraska and the Dakotas are here, the Midwest, and I know other states as well, Ohio and many huge farms throughout this blessed nation. But this famine is here, that famine for hearing the word of the Lord. Got a few verses for you. That's kind of my theme tonight is these current events of a coming food shortage. Here it says, farmers are feeling the pinch from the high cost of diesel fuel to fertilizer. The truckers are feeling the pinch, and in the Ukraine, they're not even planting crops at this time. So there's going to be a shortage of wheat and commodities that they've been producing there as well. Eggs are up. The cost of eggs are up 32%. Poultry is up 16.5%. Milk is up almost 16%. Fats and oils are up almost 17%. Overall, the cost of food is up about 12%, the largest increase since the 1970s. I like this quote here. It says, for so long, we've enjoyed lots of food in this country, so we've never, ever faced a food shortage, and I think that's coming in the coming months. Now, this is a fourth-generation farmer. Not just some fly-by-night, not some somebody just out there to make some money. No, it's the real deal. It is. Let's take a look at the Word of God. In Remnant, the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. We're kind of talking about the headlines, talking about, is there a food shortage? The headlines say a food shortage could be coming even in the U.S. See one here, the article talks about solar farms like this one pictured in Andrews County, Texas, are gobbling up prime farmland. Some observers see a long-term threat to the nation's food supply. Well, let's take a look. You know, in Psalms 107, verses 33 to 34, Psalms 107:33, it says, He, meaning God, changes rivers into a wilderness and springs of water into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salt waste. And you think, what kind of God would do that? Why would God do that? Doesn't He love us? Didn't he create this for us? Well, there's one more verse here. Let me read it. It says, because, and that's how the scriptures are. If you'll read them, you'll see why. You'll see why. Because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. You know, when God was going down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and He stopped and visited Abram and gave Abram a blessing, but He told Abram what He was doing. He was going down to see if the sin, if the wickedness by those in Sodom and Gomorrah were just, you know, it's like when you read that story, it's like He had to go see for Himself. He just, it had been reported to Him. I think the ground itself, of course God knows everything, but I think the ground, the earth itself, I think was crying out because of the abominations. Like like it cried out with the blood of Abel. But God, you know, in whatever, whether it was Jesus Christ in the flesh, God, when he talks to Abram and He says, I just got to go see. And of course, Abram talks to Him, and they couldn't find, there weren't 10 righteous in there. And I tell you, God is not one to apologize. And thank goodness that there's still at least 10 righteous in areas of this country that God hasn't done this. I think that we're seeing these things happen. Talking about changing rivers into a wilderness. We've talked to you before. Was talking to a man just this afternoon. They're doing some work up the road. And talked with him and about this, you know, rivers into a wilderness. The Rocky Mountain area, about 50% snowpack this last winter. And it feeds the Colorado River Basin, which feeds Lake Mead. And they're finding everything in Lake Mead because it's drying up. And Lake Powell. And that feeds all down into Vegas and New Mexico and northern Mexico and southern California. And they're still growing and booming. But that Colorado River Basin, there's so much more been coming out of what that feeds. The Colorado River, and as it meanders on down into the Southwest, so much more has been coming out than is going in, and we're seeing it. The river is turning into a wilderness. Lake Mead, dry. Lake Powell, down, I think, 40%. Hoover Dam, generating, I think it's running maybe just at the bare minimum, just enough to say it's running. Setting new records. Why? Why? Because of the wickedness of the people that dwell in it. Leviticus 26:18-20. We don't want to go to the law. We want to hear about the New Testament. New Testament. Well, when Jesus walked this earth, and what we have written down in the Gospels are His quotes of the Old Testament. He is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Not just the New Testament Word, but the Old Testament Word as well. And so Leviticus 26:18-20. If also after these things you do not obey Me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. I will also break down your pride of power. I will also make your sky like iron, and your earth like bronze. Your strength will be spent uselessly, for your land will not yield its produce, and the trees of the land will not yield their fruit. See, if after these things you do not obey Me. And you know what, Remnant? Right now, this nation does not obey Jesus Christ. It doesn't. It should. We are his people. But we see these things happening. We see our sky turning to iron. We see our earth bronzing over. We see the land not yielding its produce. The trees not yielding their fruit. We see it a lot in the prices. Eggs up 32%. And I tell you, Remnant, eggs are about the best, one of the best proteins and most universal food and good food that you can have. Okay? But you throw that cholesterol crap right out the window. Eggs are about as good as it gets. And if you're not raising chickens, it's summer. It's getting a little late for putting chicks on. But if you're not raising chickens, you need to find a neighbor that is. We have a neighbor. We've got about a dozen chickens, and sometimes they lay, sometimes they don't. But we've got a neighbor. It's got about 60. I've mentioned it to you before. And you need 3 or 4 dozen eggs. You call the neighbor up and support them. And the time to establish those relationships and those connections is now. Okay? The time to do that is now. Not to wait until eggs are not only up 32%, but up 75%. And I've been in our local grocery store at times, and usually they have about a 20-foot section in the refrigerated area for eggs. They've been redoing everything up at the grocery store, and it's all a ploy to have less food, and it looked like more, but they don't. And I've seen it up there where there were only literally a few dozen eggs available, where usually there's hundreds, every brand and color and shape you want. And I'm not talking about Walmart, but I've seen it in Walmart as well this year. And you have too. Whether you're in Ohio or Michigan or California or Florida or anywhere in between, you've seen it, Remnant. You've seen it. Don't deny. Don't turn away from what God is showing us. He is being patient about us, about it. He really is. He is taking his time. Okay? In this food shortage that's coming. Jeremiah 8:13. You know, just like this farmer says, for so long we've enjoyed lots of food. We've never faced a food shortage. Well, Jeremiah 8:13, let's turn there. Jeremiah 8:13, hear the word of the Lord. Let there not be a famine of it. Jeremiah 8:13, I will surely snatch them away, declares the Lord. There will be no grapes on the vine, and no figs on the fig tree, and the leaf will wither, and what I have given them will pass away. See, God has given us this bountiful land, this fruitful land. Okay, these purple mountain majesties across the fruited plain. That comes from God. God gave us that. But he says, what I have given them will pass away. Why? 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 That's what we need to be calling out. In Amos 4, it says, you have not returned to me. Therefore, I withheld the rain from you. That's Amos 4, verse 6. Even the secular world, the secular media, the secular farmers, barons, articles. Okay? I mentioned to you about the solar. Solar companies right here, let's see. Farmland often best meets solar site requirements. Solar companies are paying as much as $800 an acre in the wheat belt for leases that last for decades. That's $512,000 a year for a section of land, 640 acres, an attractive lifeline for farmers increasingly strapped by rising input prices and unfavorable weather. There is also a precedent. Wind came in about 15 years ago and turbines proliferated the area, overall a net positive. But unlike wind, which is less lucrative and can coexist with crops, solar is pretty zero-sum. I know how fast it can happen. I'm afraid this thing might snowball. If solar catches on like wind did, all this cultivated land will go out of production. Now, folks, I've seen that. I just printed this today. This was from July of this year. I just saw this today, and it's a great little four-page article. And, you know, any of the articles I have written it, I'd be glad to make copies and send them to you. All you have to do is ask and let me know when and where you heard these, and I'll be glad to send them to you. But I have seen this right down in Colorado. Farmland on between just outside of east of Interstate 25 that was either planted in wheat or corn at times, and sometimes more recently maybe in grass or alfalfa, and it's a solar farm. And of course it's subsidized by the government. Of course it is. But it's still, many of these farmers have turned land over. Now, I haven't seen it as much as they're saying here. I'm trying to see where this is. Where was this? Oh, in Texas, I guess. And so, you know, when this happens... Anyway, it's a multifaceted attack on farming in this nation, and you can only push it so far. You know, on the beef side, it's kind of we're seeing the same thing, not just farming. Let's see here. It says here several overlapping reasons why America shouldn't take a sufficient food supply for granted. Here's a quote from a farrier in Texas. Travels from farm to farm to take care of horses' hooves. It says her neighbor selling his herd of cows, and we've talked to you about that. Remember the down in Texas, the three-mile-long line of farmers selling their cows, not just steers for beef, but the mama cows, the calves, all of it, getting out of it. And here's another witness of that. Her neighbor selling his herd of cows, and a local livestock auction earlier this month brought out more trailers than she'd ever seen, with ranchers looking to sell backed up for miles. And we talked to you about that when that happened. Record temperatures, the worst drought in more than a decade, means there isn't grass for the animals to eat, and hay, which is the alternative to just putting them on grass, is tough to come by, as higher fuel costs make it harder to transport from other states. The cost of hay in her area is around $220 a roll. That's about a 1,200-pound roll, I would guess, compared with about $45 in normal time and $120 in a typical drought year. Drought. There isn't enough grass, record temperatures, and the worst drought in more than a decade. Drought. What did we read? What did you read? I will break down your pride of power. I will make the sky like iron and the earth like bronze. You know what the land looks like when there's a drought? It looks like bronze. That's right there in Leviticus 20:16. Your land will not yield its produce, and the trees will not yield their fruit. She goes on and says, none of the ranchers I know want to get out, but they have to. Everybody is selling because they can't feed the cows, and no one's buying the cows to raise. That's more meat and lower prices in the near term. Here's a report. The Texas Farm Bureau said in a report last week that much of the current breeding herd is going to processing plants. Calf numbers will fall in the year ahead. Did you hear that? Much of the current breeding herd is going to processing plants, and calf numbers will be falling in the years ahead. If everyone sells out of cattle now, what are we going to do later on? What are we going to do later on? And we're seeing this all over the nation. All over the nation. Ezekiel 22. Let's look at a couple verses from Ezekiel. Ezekiel 22:24 says, "Son of man, say to her," and you know the her is this land and the people in it. "You are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation." And God's indignation is, I think we're starting to see it. In Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 12, here's another verse. Ezekiel 30, verse 12, "Moreover," God says, "I will make the Nile canals dry and sell the land into the hands of evil men." And what are we seeing? We reported to you that the amount of farmland that evil men are buying up, even Chinese, is growing exponentially. I think I reported, I had a report a couple weeks ago, what was it, 12 or 16% of the real estate sales last year were to Chinese nationals? God says, "I'll make the canals dry and will sell the land into the hands of evil men. I will make the land desolate and all that is in it by the hand of strangers. I, the Lord, have spoken." That's Ezekiel 30, verse 12. We are living in this time, remnant. We are seeing this. As I read in Jeremiah 8:13, "What God has given them will pass away." We are seeing that. We're seeing that way of life that God has blessed this nation with. When this nation obeyed him, when the people obeyed him, we are seeing that passing away. Jeremiah 8:13. I hope that this is some ammunition for you. I hope it's a little bit of charge in your batteries so you can shine these lights into the darkness that we all have around us, the darkness that our people are under, the blinding that they show, that they are blinded to these things that are happening. And this light, this gospel, it has to be proclaimed. It has to. I read Amos to you a little bit earlier. Let's take a look at it again. Amos 4, 6 through 8. God says, "I gave you also cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places." That means God brought a famine. He brought lean times. That's what that term means, cleanness of teeth. "Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord." And so you see why these things come, is they are the Lord giving us opportunities to return to him. To return to him. We read on, Amos 4. "Furthermore, I withheld the rain from you while there were still 3 months until harvest. Then I would send rain on one city, and on another city I would not send rain. On one part would be rained on, while the part not rained on would dry up. So two or three cities would stagger to another city to drink water. but would not be satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. And when I was putting this together for today, when I saw that scripture and I read it, and I got it down here, and I thought, and I wrote beside it, you know, even the king of Nineveh repented, and they were not even Israelites. They weren't Hebrew. They weren't part of God's people. They were just some of those others out there. But even they repented at the preaching of the word. When Jonah finally got there and said, hey, you got 40 days and God's going to wipe you out, they took it to heart. They heard and they believed. And you know, it was their king that did that, and he declared. Go back and read the story of Jonah. What a great story it is. Repentance. And God relenting of his destruction that he had planned because they repented and put away their evil ways. And so if God will do that to these foreigners, how much more to his children? How much more will he do that for those that are the apple of his eye? Joel 2. Let's take a look. Joel 2:12. Because it's not all, it's doom and gloom for those that have no hope, for those that are apart from Christ, that do not love God, for those that do not obey God, for those that stand and think they're something, think they've got it figured out, that think that it's the Democrats doing this, that think that it's the Russians. Oh, it's the Russians that are doing it. Those mean, evil Russians stopping food coming from the Ukraine. Oh, it's the bankers. Those bankers closing in on the farmers, making them sell their land. No, it's God. It's God Almighty. And the good news, as Gideon, we have to remember that was Gideon's strength. Go back and read that story. That was Gideon's strength, that he realized that God had done it because of their sin. Joel 2, we'll start in verse 12. Hear the word of the Lord. Let there not be a famine for the word of the Lord, for those that tune in here. Joel 2, starting in verse 12. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. That's Joel 2. And that's what our God requires. That's what our God desires. That's what puts a smile on his face. That's what warms his heart, is when his children return. It says, with all your heart. Fasting and weeping and mourning. And he goes on and he says, rend your heart and not your garments. You know, in the New Testament, I forget where it is, but it talks about sorrow. That we are to have a sorrow, not just because you got caught, not just because it didn't work out the way you wanted it, but a sorrow that leads to what? Leads to what? The same thing we see here. That leads to repentance. And there's times that we are driven to fasting and weeping and mourning. And Remnant, I can't help but think, and I want to share with you, that when God tells us to do this, that it's much better if we will do this of our own accord And for those of us that have returned to Him, it is much better for those than for those that are driven to their knees and driven to this. Because like we read in Jeremiah, that what He has given will pass away. That what He has given will be taken away. In Jeremiah 34, did we read that one yet? I think I've got it here. Jeremiah, maybe not. I made some notes. Let me just turn there in my Bible. Jeremiah 34, let's take a look. We've still got time. Jeremiah 34, and I think I want to look at verse 17. Jeremiah 34, therefore, thus says the Lord, you have not obeyed me in proclaiming release, each man to his brother and each man to his neighbor. Another version says, for proclaiming liberty. You have not obeyed me in proclaiming liberty. He says, behold, I am proclaiming a release to you, declares the Lord. A release to the sword, to the pestilence, and to the famine. And I will make you a terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. He goes on and says, I will give the men who have transgressed my covenant, who have not fulfilled the words of the covenant which they made before me, when they cut the calf in two and passed between its parts, the officials of Judah and the officials of Jerusalem, the court officers and the priests and all the people of the land who passed between the parts of the calf. And I think that represents, that's all those that say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've raised their hand on Sunday. They've filled out the little card. They've said the sinner's prayer. But they don't keep, they have transgressed the covenant. They have broken the law of God. How? They've not obeyed in proclaiming liberty. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says, there is liberty. Verse 20, I will give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of those who seek their life. Hear the word of the Lord. We are to proclaim liberty. We are to strengthen the hands that are weak. We are to feed the sheep, right? Tend the sheep. There was one other verse, I think, in Isaiah I wanted to go to. Let's see, we were right there in Jeremiah. It's early on in Isaiah. See if I can find it real quick. Isaiah 5:13. Therefore my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is parched with thirst. My people go into exile for their lack of knowledge. And I hope you have Hosea 4:6 written by that, because that tells us the same thing, that my people are destroyed because of their lack of knowledge. That's their lack of Bible, of their lack of who God is, of who Jesus Christ is, of their lack of biblical knowledge, of their lack of knowledge of the law of God. Let's turn over to Job. We talk about the patience of Job, right? Job 5, I think, is where I want to be. I get over there right there after Esther. And let's see, Job 5, Let's take a look. Let's start at verse 17. Behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. For he inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds, and his hands also heal. From six troubles he will deliver you, even in seven, evil will not touch you. In famine he will redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You will be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, and you will not be afraid of violence when it comes. You will laugh at violence and famine, and you will not be afraid of wild beasts. For you will be in league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field will be at peace with you. You will know that your tent is secure. You will visit your abode and fear no loss. That's for those that have returned to him. It's for those that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, that do desire to proclaim liberty in the land. For those that have returned to him. In Psalms 37:19, it says, they will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine, they will have abundance. Let's turn there. I wrote that one down, but let's read a little bit more of that, because I think it's going to tell you who and how. Psalm 37. You want to have abundance in the time of famine? Psalms 37. Let's start in verse 16. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine, they will have abundance. But the wicked will perish. It says the righteous is gracious and gives. We only have righteousness in Jesus Christ. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And it's his friends that do what he says to do. So that's how you can have abundance in the days of famine. This enemy that we have, they desire to bring this famine on. But for those that are in Christ, it is their destruction that comes. It is. Well, Remnant, that's my notes. Didn't get to quite all the scripture verses. There's more. Oh, there's 10 times this scriptures on famine when God warns us, tells us. We have salvation in Christ, not only salvation from our sins, but as we've been sharing with you, salvation from the hands of those that hate us, those that seek to destroy us. Well, Remnant, that's all the time we've got tonight. Thanks for joining. Thanks for tuning in. And we do want to invite you to join. Come back Saturday morning. It's just Thursday night. Come back Saturday morning for Coffee with the Wranglers. We'll be here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Right there at the website, just click on the live audio stream, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Eastern, no, 8 a.m. Central, and 9 a.m. Eastern. Coffee with the Wranglers. The phone lines will be open, and it's a great time of godly fellowship and praise and going over the current events of the day, probably a little more in depth with some of the men. So thanks again. God bless. And for, as Pastor used to say, for those of you that are his, may God's blessings be upon you in Jesus' name.
And doing what his dad said was good. Yeah.